Now, as you know, our church takes a lot of hits with the cancer and all kinds of things. And for a church this size, and I know it's August, this is our lowest month of the year. One more week, this coming Sunday, we get past Labor Day, we should be getting back to normal. Hopefully, whatever normal is around here, right? Yeah. It's just crazy sometimes how things work. But churches, I believe churches should be full. I do. For two reasons. One, the people that claim to know Christ ought to be in God's house. Jesus Christ saved us from, we'll talk about this, but Jesus Christ saved us and we should be in the house of God. But also the house of God should not just be for those who come, this for those who are saved, but also for sinners. That's why Jesus came. So both sides, we got to be open and we got to be ready. And so I want to be in the book of Romans for a little bit tonight, but I want to talk. You know, we preached these messages before through God's Word, and been preaching 18 years here. And some messages I'm going to preach it. I'm just going to preach again, because all God's Word is good, right? But every time you read God's Word, you should always be learning something new. Because God doesn't always give it to us when we read it, because we're not ready for it. We're not understanding it. It has become so much. But I want to talk to you tonight about, and I know I was on a big kick on sin for a while, but I want to talk a little bit about it, but not so much about it. Just a little bit about it. Okay? In Romans chapter 7 is where I want to be tonight, and Paul's going to talk about some things here. And verse 13, he says, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin that is, it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good. So that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. Basically, he's saying, what I want to do, I can't do it, but what I don't, what I'm not supposed to do, that's what I keep on doing. We struggle. There is a part in us, and he continues to go on, for what I'm doing, he says, I do not understand. But in verse 16, he says, if then I do what I will not do, I will. It always gives me a tongue twister because it always bounces back and forth. But he says, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells inside of me. There is a part inside of you that is a sinful piece. Okay? As he says up here, he says, for what I do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, I do practice. Which a practice becomes a habit. Becomes an addiction. It becomes those things. So what we do, what we really have, is a whole bunch of messed up people. That's what we have. And the church today is trying to put a big, nice, happy piece on it. I showed Ben a poster. I showed you a poster today. What was it called? Sunday, Back to Church Sunday. And it showed a beautiful people. And none of them looked messy. Everybody's haircut was great. They all looked like they all went out to the Navy and bought some clothes at the Gap. And they all looked great. Back to Church Sunday. Let's just do what it, you know. And I struggled looking at that. And I rolled it back up. I'm not going to use it. Because I don't think that's what the church was made for. I really don't. He says, that I do not understand. Understand what? Why I do it? Why I do what I'm not supposed to do? Why do I do that? Why do I do that? Why can't I quit? And when it comes to an opportunity to quit, I choose not to quit. And when I want to quit, I can't quit. And the churches are not teaching how to wrestle and how to fight and how to understand. We can't grasp it. Somebody came up to Jesus one time and says, "Hey, who's my neighbor?" And Jesus begins to tell the story of the good good Samaritan. And it's a great story. Basically, it's about, can you love people? If I just showed a picture of a person, we struggle so much. And I wanted to put some pictures up here, but I chose not to. But if we had some pictures of some people, I'd say, do you love this person? Can you love that person? But we're not even there yet. My thing is, can we love each other across the aisles? Can we love people across the aisles? Because the only difference between them and us sometimes is you have Christ and they might not have. They don't have Christ. And that's a big difference. But they still have some of the same habits as we do. We don't understand it. America is broken. That's just the way it is. And America doesn't have the answers for the problems that we have. The politicians doesn't have the answers. It's not another social program. Although sometimes they can help us. It is a sin problem. It is a flat-out sin problem. And it's not so much maybe what you do out in the open. It's what you do in your own home. It's what you do with your own cell phone. It's what you look at on your own TV. It's what you look at on your computer. What you look at on your phone. We have problems. Yes, we have drug addictions. We have alcohol addictions. And we don't know. We're putting billions of dollars into the government's putting $1 billion in it. And we say, those people have a problem. But you know overeating is a problem? That can be a sin problem. But nobody wants to talk about that too much. But you know who will talk to you about it? When you go to the doctor and they say, you're looking at diabetes. When you can't miss a sports game, but you can miss church. We have a problem in America because we believe that sport athletes are like gods. And we have a problem in our country. It is a sin problem. We have a greed problem. We have a sexual problems galore. And now we just say, well, we need to accept this, because if we don't accept it, then it makes us all feel like we're not doing right. So we need to accept this. We need to accept this. We need to accept that. In fact, we need to even accept marijuana as a state legal piece. Folks, when the world can't figure it out, they'll want to accept it because that feels like they're in control of it. But I don't care what you think. It's what does God's Word say? And God's Word says, Paul said, he says right here, I struggle, for what I am doing, I do not understand, for what I will to do, that I do not practice. I don't have a habit of that, but I have a habit, I have addiction to what I hate. And I can't break it. Because it is a sin problem. It is a sin problem. Go over to, just flip over to chapter 8, verse 7. He says, because the carnal mind, this is the carnal mind. The carnal mind is your flesh. It is that other side of you that always tells you it's okay, you can do it. But it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, the flesh is against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The world cannot please God. It cannot. It cannot please. In America, we cannot please God. We think it's always a better president, a better governor. Listen, it is a sin problem. And you can't fix sin with anything else but Jesus Christ. Period. Period. It is a sin problem. But he says, but you are not in the flesh. So if you have Christ tonight, you should not be in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. Even though you still struggle in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. There's a separation. But he says, and in verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness is Christ-like living, okay? So here it is. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You can't break an addiction if you want. And true, because listen, addiction is not always about doing the addiction piece. There's always subsurface pieces. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. There's subsurface pieces. So if an alcoholic chooses not to drink and they win battle over that, if they do not deal with the things of their life, they will choose another addiction. Because they did not fix what was wrong. They think, oh, it was the alcohol. That's what caused it. The alcohol was what you used to cover up, to soften, to quiet other things in your life that you choose not to deal with. And if you don't do, if you quit drinking and quit that, you will pick up something else because we do not want to work with the things that we're trying to squash. It will rise up into another addiction. Believe me. It happens. Some people can quit an addiction, but they pick up another one. And they pick up another one. I'm telling you, we are struggling. So many people want to do right, but they don't know how to do right. And the church is not teaching them. The church is teaching them, and listen, you need to have reverence for God. You do. Okay? We need to respect God's house. We do. So many churches push people away by all the rules and guidelines of what they have before you can come into the sanctuary. Yet we should receive people coming into the sanctuary, and there's a reverence there. You can't teach people that don't know about God, but they can look around and see the examples. But a lot of churches are pushing people out. I'm telling you, I say it all the time. A church should be a spiritual hospital. Either you're coming in and you're getting help, or you're on the other side of the counter and God is using you as a spiritual physician and you're helping people. And you come together on Sunday mornings, we come together here on Wednesday nights, and we do praise and worship, we do songs and hearing of the word, and we do it together. But when we go out those walls, some of us are on one side of the table and some of us on the other side of the table getting healed, working through getting healed, and then others are doing the work that God has called them to do. 1 Timothy, I'll show you an example. 1 Timothy. Paul is writing a letter, and he writes it to Timothy, the young pastor, and this is what he says. He says in verse 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because He's counting me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Paul is saying, I thank God that He put me into the ministry. But he says this, "Although I formerly was a blasphemer." That means he spoke against God. He says, he spoke against Christ. "Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man," which means I was a violent man. And if you go back in the book of Acts, you'll see he was violent. He was a violent man. He says, "But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelieving." He says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of acceptance." This is what he says. This is worthy. This is right. This is true. And you need to listen to what he says. He says, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, who I am the worst of sinners." Paul says, "I am the worst of sinners, and this is why Jesus came." He says, "I am the chief." He says, "However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show all long-suffering, patience, as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life." What he's saying, he says, "I am the worst of sinners. I was all these things." He was on the other side of the table. learning. He had to learn. He had to go through those things. He was on the other side. He was the lost. He became saved on the Damascus Road, and he had to learn some things, retaught some things. Even though he knew the law, he didn't know Jesus. And so he's in there, and so now God is using him, and he thanks God for putting him into the ministry. And this is what I'm saying. You stick around long enough, you allow God to do a work on your life, and Larry, God's going to use you in the future. Crystal, God's getting ready to use you. You keep focused. Not yet, but you're getting close. You're getting there. There's things you're working on, but God's going to use you as well. Because this church is understaffed. And we're praying that God will bring some couples. We're praying for two couples plus the couple of the esteemed group that we lost already because they went to pastor a church. So we had to pick up three couples, at least three couples. And we don't have them right now, and we are understaffed. But if God's not bringing them, we need to train up new couples, new people. Those who once come in and were sick spiritually, those who were once living a sinful lifestyle are across the table, and God turns around and saves them, not by their awesomeness, but by God's mercy and by His grace and His love. And He begins to start to work and starts to shape and starts to mold a new person, a new Larry, a new Crystal, that they might become individuals that work and serve Jesus Christ. And then they'll sit on the table one day, and then someone else will come in, and they'll be talking to that person, whether it's through teaching or counseling or just some encouragement or sitting there praising together or singing in the same team or whatever it may be. You're doing it, and you're helping new people come to Christ and getting their life right with Christ. The church, this is a hospital, and people don't like to go to hospitals. One, they do not like to hear what the doctor has to say. And I am not the doctor. God's word is. And He says we're all sinners. And so some will choose to walk out with a death sentence. Others will choose to stay and take part of the eternal water, the everlasting, life-giving, life-changing, eternal-changing salvation gift of Jesus Christ. And they'll receive that, and their life will be changed, but they'll go through a healing process. So there's so many patients that we have into the church, but there's also those who are doctors, spiritual doctors, and spiritual nurses, and teachers, and all those things that we're working on. And we need all of us here to do it. But in the meantime, Paul says, I struggle with not doing what I want to do, and doing what I don't want to do. He says, what is that that's in me? Huh. It is sin. He says, there's sin that's working inside of me. That's what it's doing. That is what it's doing. And then he says, therefore, brother, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's what you tell. This is what we preach. If you live to the flesh and you live in the sin, you will die. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. You come in one way, you leave healthy, adopted, being a part of the family of God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So anybody that comes in with whatever junk they bring in, if they receive Christ, they walk out. If they had no family, they have an eternal family now. And they have a father. And if the children, then they're heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And that's what we are. He also says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. What does that really mean? It means when you come in, you came in trusting yourself and trusting the world and what you know. But once you become a believer and you begin healed, you understand that you don't even really know how to pray. But now you begin to trust in God. You begin to trust in the Holy Spirit. You begin to follow in the Holy Spirit. And He says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You come in as a captive to sin. But once you come to Christ, you become a conqueror. Not in your own flesh, but through Him. People come in without Jesus. If you leave without Jesus, you leave on your own. And on your own strength, and your own accordance, and your own health. And all that will dissipate. And you'll stand before God. And you will not give what needs to be given. But He says, and yet all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life. This is what Satan does not want. He does not want the sick to know that they can get healthy. Every one of us here today, whether you are saved or you're not, one time sick, spiritually sick, dying in your sin. But for those who come to know Christ, God has interceded. Salvation comes through Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized baptized. Old self went down and the new self comes up. Buried in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. That's how important it is. And this is why God has a church placed here and there and here and over there. And He chose this one to be in the inner city to work with those who are broken, those who the other churches just don't want to walk in their doors. Because it doesn't matter if they're messy on the inside, many only look on the outside. But God's Word says He always looks on the inside. And there's a lot of sick people in Huntington. And there's some good churches in Huntington trying to do what God's called them to do. But He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. So I believe this. When God heals you, He heals you. And we have to believe that He heals us. So if you want to beat an addiction, you got to get Jesus involved. Which means if you want Jesus involved, you got to take a step back. And addiction is not the whole key piece. You got to take a step back. Your relationship with God's probably not right. We will do anything and everything to avoid looking at God. We will do anything that we can, even just to stay busy, 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 to avoid getting intimate with Jesus Christ. Because when you get intimate with Christ, your sin will come up. It has to. And that's what He wants to deal with. The addiction, God can handle that. We can work through that. What's the Bible say? For I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things. I can be, because I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. It is all through Christ. Let go of being in control. Let God be in control. Let Christ be in control, because you cannot beat your addictions without Christ. Because if you think you can beat addictions without Christ, like I said earlier, you may be able to defeat alcoholism, but you still not defeated sin. have to get right with Christ. Stepping across from the desk, the table, the chair, from being a patient to being a servant. And you can't do that unless you give yourself completely. Yeah. You have to get yourself right with God. Then you can do what God has called you to do. Paul says, I thank God that He called me to the ministry. Because I used to be another person. And the only way that I was changed was by God's mercy and God's love and God's grace. And it's right there before him, but Paul had to receive it. Can tell you every way how to fix your life, but until you say, I want it, I'm going to take a hold of it, it's just dangling out in front of you. You have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. I'm going to end with this. Whatever you do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You don't come around the other side to do it for yourself. Here's what I'm saying. We're going to struggle from time to time with the flesh. We are. Because we're living in this world. But I know this. I don't have to be defeated. I can live a victorious life. I'm a more than a conqueror. Bible says that I'm a co-heir with Christ. Bible says you're a co-heir with Christ. You can defeat these things, but you have to do them with Christ, whatever it may be. Gaming, spending hours and hours on gaming, I'm telling you, stealing your time. What else can you be doing? Nothing wrong with doing some of it, but gaming, porn, loose relationships that turn into adultery, all that stuff. Satan uses all that stuff to destroy your life. But God can take anybody that's involved with any of that stuff. They take a step toward God. The Bible says if you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. But He's going to talk about that sin. He's going to talk about that junk. He's going to talk about them habits. He's going to talk about those things that nobody else even knows. But God knows. And God has a thing and a purpose for everyone. And people miss it. America's sick because of sin. And I believe America is sick because the church is sick. Not all, I'm just saying. We're trying to put all worldly stuff into our churches, trying to figure out how to change the word to make it fit so all people will feel good, that we won't hurt feelings. Everybody needs to be accepted. The Bible says Jesus came so all might be saved. I get that. That's great. God, for God so loved the world, man, I get that. But we got to deal with the sin. We got to deal with the past. Some of us have to deal with the present. I don't do what I know I should do. And what I don't. And I do the things I shouldn't do. But Paul says it's a sin problem. And you can work it and you can beat it. But you can't beat it on your own. You can't. You can't beat it on your own. And I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to pray that God's going to heal Jeremy, because I need Jeremy for an up-and-coming ministry. Just the way it is. I'm going to keep praying for Larry. What's going on in his life? I'm going to pray for him because we need Larry. I'm going to pray for Crystal because we need Crystal to keep moving it up, keep staffing it up, keep working, because we need someone like her in this church. And there's others that we need in this church. Because we are understaffed. And the sick keep coming. We're understaffed. We're understaffed. And we can't be looking at all the other churches saying, look how many people they got, look how many people they've got. No, we just need to keep looking to the Lord, looking what he's given to us, and work with it. Pray. And keep praying that God's going to bring some. And we need, in the meantime, we need to keep raising up some. Some of you are double stacked, triple stacked with ministries. Because the sick keep coming. But Jesus says, I didn't come for the righteous. I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. I came for the sick. And that's exactly what he has this place for. Anybody ever been spiritually sick before? Before you got saved, you were spiritually sick. And sometimes, even as a Christian, sometimes you take a few steps and mess up and you get spiritually sick. The Bible says there is a physician that is better than all, and is Jesus Christ.